This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Denny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
And welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this kind of foggy Thursday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show. This morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the Belleville Meat Market, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, 63 down on the island this morning. Winds are kind of out of the east. A lot of east in it, east with a little southeast, but around 10 to 12. And today it looks like rain becoming windy for the afternoon with a high near 65. South winds will be 20 to 30, and that rain chance 80%. Rainfall rates near a quarter of an inch, maybe higher in isolated areas. But higher wind gusts are possible tonight, pretty much the same. Partly cloudy, becoming cloudy after midnight, low near 56. Winds will be west-northwest 5 to 10. Those winds will swing around this frontal system. And then for tomorrow, sunshine and clouds mixed, high of 63, northwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. So be nice to get a little wind switch here and clear the fog out anyway. Tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have four of them. We're sitting on a high right now. That occurred at 2:06 a.m. It was a 1.0. We have a low at 10:30 a.m., a negative 0.8. Then a high at 6:35 p.m., an 0.9, and a low at 10:24 p.m., an 0.7. 7:09 a.m. is sunrise, 5:56 p.m. sunset, and we're on a new moon. We have 0% visibility right now. And looking at the winds around the complex, looks like up around Morgan's Point, it's east-southeast at about 12 over at Eagle Point, it's 16. Down at the North Jetty, it's 17. The old rollover site, 14. So that's pretty much it. The buoy offshore showing southeast at 13. And water temps, it's good to see all above 50 degrees. Everything's from about 53.8 to 55.8. So that's a good sign. That's why those fish have been biting lately. Warm water, it's coming up and they're snapping. All right, well, let's run over to the east of town now, over to the Golden Triangle area, and check in with old Captain Bill Watkins at Sabine Lake and see what he's up to this morning. Good morning, Bill. What's up?
Good morning, buddy.
How you doing?
How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm as good as you can possibly be. I'm here.
Paddling right along.
That's it. We'll do it live.
That's right. Well, I can give you a report on what happened during the freeze
right
over here in the upper marshes,
right,
way up in the shallower waters.
Mm-hmm.
And the tide fell pretty hard yesterday. We saw a lot of dirt bank, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch. It fell all day long, and we counted from the Crane Brothers dock, if you've ever been out of Johnson Bayou.
Right.
There's a dock about a mile down the way from the boat landing.
From the ramp, yeah.
Yeah, and we counted 21 dead redfish laying on the bank.
Ooh, that ain't good, dead reds.
21.
Dang it.
So, yeah, that's no trout.
Yeah. Well, the trout may not have been in there.
I don't think there was any trout in there.
If the reds died, you know trout did, if they'd have been in there with them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And what happened, I think, that northwest wind come in so strong that it pulled the bottom out of the marsh. I mean, it just...
But you know what's so bad about that area where you're at? It pushes water in there before it finally drops.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been over there when the norther hit, and it'll fill that marsh up, and then man, when that tide starts going out, it just drops, and they probably just got trapped, man.
Yeah, they got trapped out in those shallow ponds.
Sure.
And they didn't have any water out there.
Nope.
And I think it just it dropped the water level so far that they couldn't get away from it. And, of course, they had 7 inches of snow there.
Yeah, see, that's another thing. People couldn't believe how cold the water got. I said, well, when you got, you know, anywhere from 4 to 6 inches of snow falling in the water, that's like putting more ice in a mixed drink, make it colder.
That's right. Yeah. Well, that was a sad thing to see because they were all 18, 19 inches, every one of them.
Just fixing to be keepers. Well, they're Louisiana keepers. They were keepers.
Yeah, they were.
There were slots for there. Yes, sir.
But we fished in the lake, and we caught, over 30 redfish.
Right.
That was pretty easy there, and there was every size from 16 inches up to about 32. You know, we managed to catch, we had 8 keepers and 2 trout, 2 nice trout. But, why the trout weren't up on the shallows, I mean, the water was beautiful. I mean, the clarity of the water was really good, nice, dark, clear, stained water. We just couldn't get on the trout. And I blamed it on the tide level being so low yesterday. I mean, it fell. I think if I'd have had a high tide, I could have caught more trout. They went out in the lake and probably stayed scattered out there. But who knows? You know, might have had some die off too. Not sure about that one. But it was like there were just stragglers in there in the house. So we caught most of our fish on points or the mouth of drains, you know, typical situation for falling water. And mostly on whitetail wigglers and some paddle tails like the 4-inch wiggle-o, that was a good bait. Redfish like paddle tails. But we caught them on most anything we threw. And you just go along till you find them. And they were extremely shallow. I mean, they were in 2 foot or a foot and a half of water. And that was odd. I thought they should have been a little bit.
What, those reds you caught were?
Yeah.
Well, it's probably warmer, you know, softer bottom and warmer, you know, with the air temperatures up now. That's what they do. I've seen it before behind freezes. After these fish finally pull out of the canals and bayous and stuff like that, where they kind of harbored, you know, salt shelter in that freeze. As soon as the currents start moving in that warmer water on the flats, they'll pull up on the flats. They'll follow that bait up there real shallow.
Yeah. It got up to 54.4 yesterday.
54.4?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So we started out in the upper bio, it was 50. I thought, well, that's about right. But got out in the lake, and it was 53 to 54 most of the day.
Yeah, that deeper open water will be cooler. You know, I saw some water temperatures from that freeze in Louisiana over around Delacro and all that, 32 and 33 degrees. But according to Texas Fish and Game magazine, I got an email from the other day, the fish kill was minimal. Nothing like ones in the past.
Yeah, that's
according to them. In Sabine area, no fish kills were reported in Sabine Lake, according to fishery sampling and game warden updates.
Yeah. Well, we saw no dead fish until we got, you know, like 4 miles up the bayou.
Yeah. Well, I've been seeing some pictures from around here where, you know, they were laying on the bottom. You know, people videoing them, sending them to me. You know, a few dead trout laying on the bottom, but they were... in back areas like you're talking about, to where they, you know, once the tide went out, it was too shallow, and that 38-degree water overwhelmed them.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I mean, it's been going on forever. As long as this planet's been here, there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing.
Yeah, that's right. So
just hope it was minimal.
Yeah, I actually think it was probably okay.
Well, we'll be able to tell about March, you know, when everybody's really fishing a lot and the catch rates go down, then we'll know. That's what happened after 21. We didn't see any dead fish here, hardly at all. You know, a few canals over in West Bay, I saw pictures where people on top of their bay houses, you know, videoing down in the water. The water was so clear that you could see all them fish laying on the bottom. But they just, they never did float.
Well, we had opportunity to, you know, the sun angle come out about 12 o'clock, 11:30, and we had opportunity to see the bottom in that shallower water.
Right.
Didn't see any trout float around.
Good.
Didn't see any dead fish on the lake at all. But
good.
That last stretch of bayou up there where all those marsh ponds are, that's, I think what happened was that those fish died in the marshes in that shallow water, and then they got flushed out on the
tide. That outgoing tide every day will pull them towards the bay.
Yeah.
Down the bayous,
Like you say, we'll see later. But we did lose some redfish over there.
Well, that's not encouraging when redfish die. You know, and the hammer told me over in the tribe area the other morning. You know, what I talked to him Sunday morning. He went out on Saturday, and that's all he saw, a few dead trout, but mostly redfish. And it's in the area he was fishing. There was probably mostly redfish there anyway, and there wasn't that many trout. So that's good.
That's encouraging.
Yeah.
But we'll know later.
Sure. That's what we did in 2021, you know, after that freeze. We kind of knew after the way that spring was going and leading up to the summer, the catch ratio was down quite a bit, and we kind of knew then.
Yeah. Well,
because I think in the 2021 event, I don't know how they can come to these numbers. They stated in that email I got the other day that the, I think the kill was 3.8 million fish across, you know, 60 species of fish in our bays that perished. 3.8 million. That, you know, that's everything. Mullet and drum, reds, trout. Tarpon, snook, whatever. Cutlass fish.
Well, if there was a
fish.
If there was a snook in this part of the world, they're dead.
Oh, I promise you. Yeah, I've heard a bunch of them coming around Caney Creek area and all that. A bunch of snook down there died too.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough, but
that's life, man. For saltwater fish, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
We'd have had one or two more nights like that last night, that would have been bad.
That would have whacked them pretty good.
Yes. You're dang right.
But, you know, here we are. We'll like you say, we'll see. But I sure didn't have any trouble catching redfish in the lake.
That's all I'm seeing from Louisiana right now is redfish catches over there. No trout, but plenty of reds.
Yeah.
Lots of reds being caught right now.
Yeah. So. It was really good yesterday. And then we didn't, with their new limits, we didn't get to keep that many.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mostly catch and release.
Right.
So the method to their madness over there is actually okay as far as redfish goes.
Right.
They managed to trim off those 16, 17 inches. That you can't keep them. So, and, you know, they're pretty dumb. You can catch a lot of those, but you can't keep them anymore. So
right.
It's 18
inches to 27 inches, and absolutely nothing over 27.
Right.
And I got thinking about it. There was a lot of trips that I would keep three or four oversized redfish, you know, because people wanted to keep them. They like to eat them on the half, on this and that.
Well, yeah, and with a cutoff at 27, I mean 28 and 29 inches, why not keep one?
Yeah.
You know, y'all can do that. Yeah. Not anymore, brother. Not anymore.
No more.
Let me take this break, Bill. I'll be right back at you, man.
Okay.
Well, folks, are you looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure? Welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters. So you can bring your friends, your clients. Let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything from five-star lodging, skeet shooting and sporting clays to a fully stocked bass pond. And your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. So if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups up to 40 and host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. And tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. It's 419 here in the Bayou City. Bill, we are back. Continue on, my friend.
I'm here with you.
Well,
So I think I picked the wrong area for my first stop. Back before the snow,
mm-hmm.
I had some really nice trout located about mid-lake. And I should have, you know, when you have a tide falling all day this time of year,
mm-hmm.
the trout usually will be up on the shoreline at high tide, and then they start pulling off. You get a little bit of extra fresh water coming out of the marshes and this and that, and after it falls all day, you're going to lose your bite. They're going to pull off. That happens occasionally. If the water's really salty, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But if they've got a lot of fresh water in the marsh, and they evidently do, it just, the top of the high tide, they'll be up there on the bank, and then as sun comes up, they're going to pull off. And I think that's what happened to us, because we caught our two trout early. And then as the tide fell and fell and fell, we didn't catch any more trout. I think they just eased back out into the lake. But the redfish just kind of hung around. You know, we'd catch one or two in some of the 2 foot water, 4 foot water. But several of them we caught, even the tide fell, golly, till probably 3 o'clock. And the last couple of reds we caught were in a foot and a half of water.
Amazing.
Just laying in the mud, leeches on their belly and all that kind of cool stuff.
Yeah, they'd been doing some bottom hugging.
Yeah. And one of the guys actually hooked a quarter inch long glass minnow with one of those big jig hooks, speared mm-hmm. that little fella right in the side of the head. He said, look at this. He said, that's the smallest fish I've ever caught in my life. And absolutely, it was a tiny little glass minnow, just as clear as he could be. I said, man, you set a record for yourself. I've never caught one that small. So, and that was in the area where those redfish were at. And they actually, I couldn't see them because they were all up on the bow, and I had to power pole down, and they said, hey, we see fish breaking up here. And I said, right on a point, I said, well, throw up in there and see what they are. It was a three-way hookup. And we caught five reds right there. And that's where that guy stuck that little old glass minnow. So that must have been what they were eating. A little tiny fry.
Well, we're getting into that time of year coming up pretty soon. A glass minnow is going to be their basic diet, you know.
Yeah, it's coming. Absolutely. So that's what they're eating, and evidently there'll be more. And we didn't see them. You couldn't see them spraying out in the air and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
They were breaking the water, feeding on them. So yeah, it's always cool when you can see a 28-inch redfish eating little bitty tiny minnows that are,
yes,
you know, long or whatever. And they just gorge on that stuff. They love it.
Yeah, I've cleaned reds before this time of year. When you open them up and you cut their stomach open, it'll just be a big old pouch there, and it's just full of millions of those little tiny fry like that.
Yep, they go around
just vacuum clean them, man. Suck them in. Take them down.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, try matching the hatch with that. Have to throw a fly rod to do it.
Yeah, it would. Oh man, I think a man could have caught with a fly rod yesterday, but the wind got up. I mean, it was east southeast, and pretty stout. You had to get against the bank, and you know there's several spots where you could fish around points and stuff. It was tricky, real tricky.
Yeah. Oh, that was. Did you see that before you went to bed last night? That was terrible. About that Black Hawk helicopter and American Airlines plane colliding.
Yeah,
did you see that? That's terrible.
Yeah. Were there any survivors at all?
It's not looking good, man.
No.
It'd be nice if there would be, but it's, man, it's. Plus, that water there is 32 to 33 degrees in that river.
Yeah, that's...
Hypothermia. No, what does that take, like 15, 20 minutes, and you're pretty much overwhelmed by the cold?
Yeah,
you'd be done. That's bad news, man.
Terrible. Yeah, that is.
Tragic.
I don't know how the world that happened. We'll find out eventually, I guess.
I kept watching the video over and over again. It's like the airliner, you know, was set up coming in, and that Black Hawk just came from left to right and just ran into the side of it. Big fireball, and then you can see the fuselage and all that falling down towards the river. But it was a bad deal, man.
Well, they actually went into the river, I guess.
Yeah, that's the way it looks.
Oh, well.
On the Potomac.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah, it is. And the United States figure skating team, a lot of them were on that plane.
Hmm.
They had an event in, I think it was Kansas. My wife was watching that this weekend.
Well, I'll tell you what, they sure didn't know their number was pulled out.
No, that's pretty tragic, no matter who it is. Yeah,
it's always sad when no matter who it is, you're right.
Take my chances in a boat.
Yes, sir. Me too. I feel a little bit safer there.
Worst thing you can do is sink.
Yeah. Yeah.
Knock on wood, I've never sunk a boat. All my years, I've been lucky, man. Never sunk one.
I haven't either, but...
I've come close in some bad weather. You think, man, am I going to make it? Am I going to get to the dock or not?
Yeah. Yeah, that's... if you stay out there long enough, you're gonna see something. You're going to stare death in the face at least one or two times.
Oh, yeah. I've stared it in the face several times, wade fishing boats running against the bank and in the fog running right at you.
Oh, man.
That'll, boy, the pucker factor sets in big time.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you're waving your arms.
All you can hear is that boat, you know, the boat hitting the water and that outboard coming. You're going, oh, man.
Yeah. And you can get way out.
It's foggy here this morning. Is it foggy over your way?
Probably so. I hadn't looked out to see.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
As I said, it foggy. And, I almost got run over by a work boat one day over at Willabow.
Yeah.
And this old boy come out of the Crane Brothers dock, twin engine boat, big old aluminum work boat.
Right.
And at the last minute, he saw me, and he was running right down the shoreline.
Mm-mm-mm.
At the last minute, he pulled back on it and drifted by me. You know, we could just talk in a normal tone. That's how close he was.
Wow.
And I said, fella, I said, don't they put GPS on those boats? He said, yeah, dude. He said, but GPS don't work in the fog.
Well, it does, but you just don't have radar. You can't see.
I said, really? GPS don't work in the fog? He didn't
Mine
have
does.
One. Hey, he didn't even know what I was talking about.
Probably not.
If there was one on that boat, that
What's
hand didn't know how to
do it. I'll tell you where it gets hairy in that Mississippi River. Mike Jeffcoat's told me some horror stories of stuff he's seen in that Mississippi River in the fog. He won't even run it. He won't even take his trip out when he's got to run the river.
I don't blame him.
Too much
That's
traffic.
That's a pretty congested waterway. And, you know, and we've got so many ships going into the ship channel right now, and you can't hear those ships unless they're tooting their fog horn.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ain't going to know where he's at because they're quiet. Shoot, man. Yeah, I stay out of that ship channel. But I'm actually more worried about these go fast guys that, you know, they got a fine low profile 21, 22 or 24 foot boat, and they're running Mach 1 with their hair on fire.
Oh, yeah. They'll
get
do
there.
It, too.
Got to get there. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you have zero time to recover from mistakes. You know, shoot.
Things happen real quick on the water. Plus, boats don't have brakes.
Boats don't have brakes, you're right. You got to be on your toes all the time.
Stay in it and steer it. Steer clear.
Yep.
I hope your reflexes are good.
Yeah. Well, I'm reluctant to run very fast in a fog. I mean, I'll try to plan where I don't have to be, you know, in that ship channel or where barges are.
Or try to put in close to where you're going to, you know, you got a good idea you're going to fish. Put in as close as you can to there, you know.
Right. That's exactly right. And, you know, there's been some times out there I've wondered if people were going to actually see me or not. You know, it's always a concern. But I've seen wade fishermen in the water way out. You know, they'd be way out there and look like a pelican on the water.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I always watch when I'm running the shoreline. You know, because that's where they're likely to be.
Right.
And this time of year, you know, you got a lot of crazy wade fishermen. They're gonna get in the water.
I'm one of them.
Don't want to run over any of them.
Hey, I ain't that mad at them anymore. Waiting in the fog now. I'll let them have it. I'll go in behind the fog. That's fine with me.
Yeah.
I've caught plenty. I ain't worried.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right, Bill. Well, hey, buddy. If somebody wants to call you about coming over and fishing Sabine, how do they get a hold of you, man?
409-673-9211.
All right, buddy.
I'll try to get this phone issue settled.
That's
fine. Did he try to call my regular phone?
I think he did. Yeah, I told him to call that first, and if he couldn't get you through that, then call the one you're on now.
Yeah, it just says I'm not registered on a network, and I have no idea what's going on.
There ain't no telling this day and age.
In the Verizon office this morning, bright and early.
Give them hell.
Well, thank you, man. Appreciate you giving me a call.
Hey, you bet, Bill. Anytime, I'll talk to you Saturday. You be safe out there, brother.
Okay, bye-bye.
Later, man. All right. Well, you know, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop. They're right in downtown Belleville, and they've been they're celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. What a fine place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken. Check out their smoked sausage samples. They're available daily in the store. They have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. That's served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And check out their packaged bacon deal that's going on right now. 36-ounce, all varieties, just $9.89 a pound. That's if you spend an additional $25 worth of your purchase. Limit 2 per person. And they have bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and pecan smoked sausage. And check out their wild game processing. They never close. They do it year-round. And if you're still taking does or spikes or whatever in, check out their new sausage recipe. You got to try it. It's really good. Along with deer tamales and venison hot dogs, your family will love that you did. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 4:37 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run over to Conroe now and let's check in with the fish dude this morning, see if he's doing some big boy fishing. Richard, what's up?
Not a lot, Mickey. How you doing this morning?
Oh, man, I'm good.
Good deal. Nice and warm out now, ain't it?
Hey, now you're talking my kind of weather.
I hear you, but that dang old wind's supposed to kick it in high gear sometime today. So
yeah, it'll probably hold off till afternoon for y'all up that way. I guess all the big boys are in town right now, huh?
Yeah, they're going to kick everything off today. I was going to head out there and just mess around a little bit, but I think with that wind, I'm going to hold off a little bit and wait, go out there tomorrow and see what's going on.
Yeah, you're going to have a north wind tomorrow, 15-20.
Yeah, everything's going to change. There ain't no doubt. It's going to go from hot to back to that cold stuff again, but hopefully not as cold as it has been anyway. But it's one of them things. Everything's going to change all weekend long, it looks like, so we'll see how everything works out anyway. So it's all good. No matter what, it's all good. We're going to make it work. So I'm going to do a little bass fishing, kind of hit and miss while they're out there, because I'm going to try to stay out of their way. Like I say, I ain't going out today, but probably be out there tomorrow and Saturday for sure. And then Sunday, be out there all day hybrid fishing and catfishing. So we'll see how all that works out anyway. That water temp ought to be down. Like I said, I ain't been out there in over a week and a half now, so it's like good night. I need to get. But it's one of them things, I say a week and a half. It's last week I was out there hybrid fishing a little bit, just trying that dead stick and stuff, which is apparently working for some, but it ain't working for me. But I was catching them out there on that light tackle anyway. I put me some 10-pound test on there with a little jig head, one of my elite assassin jig heads, and then just a little elite swim bait that Bass Assassin makes. Also chunked it out there on them rascals and tried to dead stick them a little bit, but I just ain't patient enough for that. So I'd watch them on that active target, see them down there, and then drop it in front of them and then jerk it a couple of times, and they'd nail it. So it was fun, especially with that 10-pound test. So that's, you start catching them, 6-pound, 7-pound hybrids on 10-pound tests, they pull like a freight train anyway. So
right.
it's it's all good. You know, that's the main thing. You know, just get out there and try that. And everything's going to change up, you know, with all this weather going hot and cold again. So it's water temperature's down is probably as low as it's going to be all year, though. So it's one of them things where the other day when I was out there, it's 50-something as far as surface temp. So I don't know. It's pretty cold down deeper, I'm quite sure. But most of the hybrids I was seeing out there the other day was they were hanging in about 20 to 25 foot of water. Well, I'm suspended out there in about 35 and 40. So it's just kind of they were everywhere, just thick layers of bait and stuff like that moving through. And you'd see holes in that bait where they'd busting through them every once in a while. And that's kind of what I was looking for, just paying attention to how that bait was moving. And every time you'd see a gap in there, and most time you'd see some fish in there eating them. So it was different, you know, just kind of watching how all that worked and all that good stuff. So I'm ready to get out there and go to chunking some stuff at them bass. So that's because this time of year when they're up there shallow, and that way I'll say they're
catch a big one right now, man.
It is. It's time to catch a giant, and that's what I'm curious to see how many of these guys actually pull off and get some big ones caught during this major league fishing deal. Because most of them I've been seeing, I've been keeping up with them on Facebook and stuff. They've been talking about practice being tough, and that's typical Conroe. You know, it'll get really tough on those days when you think they should bite, and the days you think they shouldn't bite.
That's the deal with Conroe. There's no in between. It's either good or it's slow. You know,
it's exactly. No, I mean, it's not. There isn't any in between at all, and especially this time of year. You know, with that water temperature being cool, if they fish, you know, they typically fish fast, and if they fish too fast on Conroe right now, they're not going to catch a lot of fish, but they're liable to catch some quality fish just by covering water. But that's, you know, that's the biggest thing with Conroe. It's feast or famine most of the time. Mm. And it's, you know, those days, like I say, on those days when you think, man, I ought to hammer them today. Like just like today, for example, you know, before all this wind starts blowing in, they ought to do pretty good. But odds are they're not going to do great. But tomorrow, after that front blows in, they'll be all over it. They'll eat. You know, it's crazy how it works. But that's only cold weather situations when they do that. And then all of a sudden they'll shut down again, and you may have some little bite windows that only last an hour or two. But when they're biting, you better be chunking at them, because it's one of them things. But the key thing that's going to be happening with them is slow down. They're just going to have to force themselves to slow down a lot of times. But we'll see. You know, some of them are, like Spencer's going to get out there, and he's going to be on that forward-facing sonar that one period that they can use it. And I'll promise you, he's got some fish found somewhere, because they'll suspend up in them bait balls out there in that deeper water right now. And you'll get those bass out there chasing them. It's just a matter of finding those bigger bass that actually want to gang up in those bait balls. And that's hard, because you got so many hybrids mixed in there with them. They're going to, you know, anybody scoping them is going to catch a ton of hybrids too. So it's, it's one of those games you got to play if you're out there scoping, because it's, the hybrids are right there with the bass, and that's one of the hardest things to distinguish between is it a 20-inch bass or is it a 20-inch hybrid? So, because they look so much alike when you're looking,
fish it out.
Yeah, you do. You got to, when you're looking at that forward facing sonar, they match almost identically out there. They
so you said he was going to use that facing sonar for what, one period? Or they just get
correct.
One time slot they get to use it in, or what?
One period out of the day they get to use their forward facing. They got three periods, right? So they've got to tell their boat official, hey, I'm going to use it in my second period. I'm going to use it in my third period. They're only allowed to use the forward facing sonar in one period throughout the day, and the other two periods they have to just go fish like we always fish. Just go. Go chunk and wind.
Well, once they find them on that, they can pretty much punch that in. and
well, kinda. I mean, that's the thing, you know. Once you're using this, you're scoping them. So like I was doing with the hybrids out there, you know, they're out there in 25 foot of water, but now you're just blind casting out there in 25 foot of water. You got to make sure you're suspended.
Yeah, but I mean, if they're over like some kind of structure and they scope it out, yeah, they see the fish, yep, ganged up on a brush pile or whatever,
that's
catching
different.
The right,
that's,
ones there, they can punch that in on their GPS and they're good to go. They can stay with,
oh,
those
absolutely,
fish.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one thing about the brush piles on Lake Conroe is that once you get on those brush piles and you find fish on certain ones, you can keep going back to those, and they're gonna, those fish will fire sometimes throughout the day. You just got to keep hitting them over and over again, and you may hit one brush pile three different times throughout the day, but one of those times they'll fire off, and when they do, you better be there catching them.
Better be sitting on them when they go, man.
Exactly. That's the thing.
It's not too early for dock fishing, is it?
No. I mean, there's some fish hanging out under docks right now. The biggest
thing with this warm up, you know, the way this water's come up the last few days, that there ought to be some of that, you know, off the ledges.
The biggest thing is going to be the rocks. You know, a lot of those rock piles and a lot of the bridges and stuff like that, you know, you can go along there and chunk a jerk bait or something like that, or slow roll a spinner bait along those rocks. And, you can catch a lot of fish along the rocks because that's, you know, they're retaining heat. They're going to be the warmest spots on the lakes right now.
Sure.
And that's what I tell people all the time. I fish a lot of boat ramps, too. I don't normally tell people about that, but I do fish a lot of boat ramps. And, I mean, Fred Adams can tell you, we sat on a couple of boat ramps and caught a bunch of fish one time. I mean, in this time of year,
Fred Adams has fished with everybody.
I think so. But Fred and I sat on some of those boat ramps and just dragging a Carolina rig or even chunking a crankbait, just catch the heck out of fish this time of year when it's cold, because you catch those ramps that are on like the northwest side of a creek or the lake or whatever, and you fish those real hard. And you always do that because that sun's shining on those particular ramps or rocks all day long, so that's the warmest. Gonna be the place that warms up the most and warms up the quickest. So that's where I always try to go.
Well, hey, appreciate all the good info. I gotta go. I looked at my time. I gotta get. Hey, throw them out a number. Somebody wants to get with you and come fish Conroe with you, man.
All right, Mickey. Anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage. FishDudeTX.com.
All right, buddy. Richard, have a good day, man. Take care, my friend.
Yes, sir. Y'all have fun.
Later. All right, now let's run down to Matagorda and check in with Captain Charlie Paradosky. Charlie P., what's up?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Just
good.
Not many people wanting to go fishing. And,
a little slow right now.
Yeah. But fishing's good. What few people are going out there catching.
Right.
And I fished last Saturday and Sunday, and I missed them. Saturday. We didn't leave. We didn't go till about 9 o'clock, and them fish were feeding. Well, that sun popped out early.
Right.
I had a couple of guys that I'd taken the day before this all started, and they were out there and they just whacked them. They were all excited about the fish they caught in that same damn spot. So
right.
But it shut off. But anyway, I talked to Lee Warnke this week. He's had several good trips. He said the shoreline's just stupid with redfish.
I bet.
And, and
redfish go skinny after these cold spells, don't they? Man, they get up on the bank.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And, he told me about a couple of the other guys that's been out there that's been catching trout to 8 pounds.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, some drifting, some wading. But what's funny is the Colorado River. You can't catch nothing in it.
You think it'd be stacked with fish?
Yeah.
That in a diversion area, you know?
Yeah, because I hear that the the harbor in Freeport. The fish are just stacked up in there like cordwood, or were before it warmed up.
Right.
Yeah. Other than that, there's not many people going out. Not many people fishing over here at all, and we got this big warming trend next week, and I think fishing will be great all week.
Sure.
If we can get somebody to go. So far, I just got Saturday, and that's it.
Well, that was a week-long cold spell. These fish ought to be snapping behind it, you know. Yeah.
The game warden checked me Sunday before we got ran off the water. It rained about almost an inch on us.
Right.
And they're not seeing any significant kill, just some fish in the back lakes and on
back
the far end
stuff,
of
yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah, and that shallow water on the east end
of the
bay.
Well, I mean, it's not good that they died, but, I mean, it's good that that's all it is, you know. It's not extensive.
Yeah, I think we were lucky. I think that we just missed
it. Hey, one or two more nights of that, and we wouldn't have been so lucky, brother. I'm going to tell you.
I know.
Because it got cold. That was a cold snap, man.
Yeah.
I just, you know, that snow hitting the water, it just cools that water down big time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we dodged the bullet, but we'll see. In the long run, we'll see.
Boy, the farther east you go, the worse it is, you know. Parts of Louisiana and in Alabama and South Carolina, North Carolina. I've seen a lot of fish kill stuff from over there. A lot of trout, man.
Yeah, and it seems like every good report I hear is from somebody down in Baffin.
It's yeah, like Cliff Lynn sent me a picture of a big fish the other day.
Yeah. They're catching them. That's where everybody's wanting to go right now.
Yeah, well, it's their time of year.
Yeah.
They're always earlier than we are.
Yep.
Every dog has his day, Charlie.
You bet.
Seen that over the years, haven't we?
Yes, sir. Sure have.
But I tell you, when I had Trout Masters, I'd throw that first tournament of the year at Matagorda, to that February tournament. Man, we had some toads weighed in. Jeez.
Oh, yeah. I've always loved the first 2 weeks of February.
Oh, yeah. That's when I'd go.
Great over
there. Some giant sacks, buddy.
Yeah, and we had Trout Masters the third or fourth week of February those years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
That's when I'd kick the season off, Matagorda first.
Yes, sir. Good old days.
Yes, sir. A lot of fun.
Right.
I don't make them like that anymore. Man, that group of guys, that's, hardcore. I say group, about 300 of them. They were nasty.
Best of the best.
I'm telling you. If there was a fish swimming, they'd catch it. That's a fact,
yes,
Jack.
Sir. Yeah.
And it was always the worst weather. Never could hit the weather right. It was always terrible. Miserable.
Yep. Yep, yep. Well, anyway, we'll hope we get some parties for next week and give you a good report.
Well, got a good warming trend. Somebody ought to call you.
Yeah.
Well, throw them out that number. Somebody wants to call you and come over and do it up, man.
Cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie P. Always good talking to you.
All right, Mickey, take care.
See you, man. Later.
All right.
That's Captain Charlie Paradoski in Matagorda. Time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.